morning, everyone. How are you doing? Yeah, it's been lovely to see these little babies. And when they've been sending their photographs through, they've made me like laugh and in equal measure. So we're just going to look at a few things together now. That if you notice the kind of calm in the room when our little people have gone out to their own activities, it's going to have great fun out there. It's going to be lovely. So welcome to the baby dedication and to Mother's Day. So it's a bit of a joint celebration. We thought they would go together quite well. And just a shout out to all the mums there doing your bit. You know, we try our best, don't we? And, you know, you get a little badge or a little homemade card. Or when your daughter's grown up and lives in London, you get sent a Ted Baker bag in the post. Woo! How lucky am I? Someone said, did you get breakfast in bed this morning? I'm like, no, I got something a little better than that. No pressure, Chloe. So, our lovely babies today. So we've got little Thea, Eliana, Daniel, and Axel. And here they are, their beautiful little faces. They're the dedication class of 2018. And we'd love to see little ones growing up here and being involved in church family. It's amazing. And thank you for all your friends and family who've come today to be with them and support them. We're going to look a little bit at this baby name meanings. What do these names mean? So when parents choose a name, it's quite difficult choosing one. But actually, the meaning of a name is very important. It's kind of part of our identity. And so let's look at the names. So little Thea, she means gift from God or God's present. And Eliana, my God has answered. And I know that her little brothers were praying for a sister, and so he answered their prayers. Daniel means the Lord is my judge. No one else, but it is the Lord. And Axel, again, is a Hebrew name meaning father of peace. When I was contemplating on these beautiful names, I was thinking it reminds me of a story in the Bible that encompasses all these things about what is the gift from God. My God has answered prayer. The Lord alone is my judge and the father of peace. And it reminds me of the story of Daniel. And Daniel, his story starts many years ago in the third year of the reign of a king called King Jehoiakim. There we are, Jehoiakim of Judah. Now, it was bad news for Jehoiakim in the third year of his reign because King Nebuchadnezzar invaded the land, besieged Jerusalem, and carried off all the people of Israel as slaves to Babylon. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar was a great ruler. I mean, he had this great ancient empire. It was powerful. There were sophisticated structures of rulership, but it was very brutal as well. Basically, if he didn't like you, you got killed. And so it was brutal. But King Nebuchadnezzar, he later on, people spoke of him, and even in the book of Daniel where it's recorded, they said he had a kingdom of gold, or he was like a great tree. And it says this, you have become, Nebuchadnezzar, great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had this sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. And the book of Daniel tells us, because of his high position, all the nations and peoples of every language dreaded and feared him. Now, Ads, I wonder if you could put this up for me, because it's so low. I'm just like, I'd like to look at the people, but I'm kind of stumped. That's better. I can look at you better now. That's very nice. Thank you. So, meanwhile, back in Babylon, when King Nebuchadnezzar had taken all these captives there, he started to look at some of the captives he had, and there were nobles and royals, and there were some of the people there that he said, actually, I can use these, and rather than them cleaning the floor, I'm going to put them through Nebuchadnezzar training school. And he had like his own university for 3 years, and he picked out some of the captives, the smartest, those who looked like they wanted to learn, and he began to teach them the language of Babylon. They dressed like Babylonians, and so he took these, and so for the guys who were pulled into this training program, there was no escape. There's no way they could ever escape back to Jerusalem, but it might just be better serving in the palace than serving somewhere else as a slave. And so among the captives chosen were Daniel and his three friends. And the first thing that happened was they were given a new name. And there's something about our name and choosing a baby name that gives us an identity. And so immediately these young lads, their name was changed. But in the changing of the name to a Babylonian name, and the Babylonian Empire was far from God and had practices in that empire that these young lads found really difficult. But although they were given new names, they never lost their identity in their heart of who they were. And we're going to see their courage of living out their faith in difficult times. And so Daniel, his new name was Belshazzar, and his friends became known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it says that God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, a bit like the prophecy of little Axel this morning. And Daniel was given the ability from God to understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Now, at the end of 3 years' training, they were all wondering what to do and what to apply to now uni had come to the end. No, actually they weren't. They were just pulled into the king, and the king would decide. And in the book of Daniel, it tells us the king talked with the lads, and he found none equal to Daniel and his friends. So they entered into the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found these boys 10 times better than all the advisors in the whole kingdom. And they became very precious to him, and he guarded them, and he wanted to know their wisdom on every subject. And then later on, the king is plagued by bad dreams. And these dreams are so bad, it causes him intense anxiety. And so he demands that his wise men and his advisors come to the palace to interpret. But because he doesn't want anyone to trick him about the interpretation, he wants them to tell him what his dream was and the interpretation. So when he explains this, you've got a volatile king with a sword in one hand and a lion's den on the other, and you've been asked now this impossible task. And so the king called everyone to him. Now this was the day to pull a sickie, if ever there was one, or a snow day, or anything, not to be in the palace. But he called in all the wise men and his advisors and his magicians and all this little crowd of people. And when he explained to them what he wanted, they were alarmed because this was an impossible task. And they knew that actually they were facing a fast redundancy. And so the king said to them, I want you to explain my dream and what it means. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you all. And I'm like, okay. Now, this was the point where they're trying to be inventive and creative and make something up, but you can't, because obviously who knew the king's dream? And finally, they said to the king, what the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods themselves, and they do not live among humans. This made the king so angry and furious. Now, do you notice here? He wasn't just angry, he was furious as well. So he's angry and furious. Now, that's not a good place to be in front of the king, who is angry and furious. And he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon to take place before bedtime. So the commander of the king's guard, he goes to find Daniel first, to find Daniel and his friends, to kill them and put them to death. And so he turns up at Daniel's house, but with wisdom and tact, Daniel first asks, why is the king so harsh in this decree? Why the overreaction? What's going on here? So the commander explains all about it. The king is in great distress. He's had these terrible dreams. They're so terrible. He wants you to tell him the dream and to interpret it. And so it's more to do with his anxiety. Okay, I get it, says Daniel. He says, let me go to the king and ask for a little more time. He goes to the king and he says, sire, if you give me a little longer, I will interpret your dream and tell you what it is. And the king allows him a little bit longer. Now here we see how Daniel understands that life itself is a gift from God. He's not ruled by the king, but he lives his life before God. It's like the king is not his judge, only God is his judge. And he knows that life is a gift from God. And we also see him just walking like a father of peace. He's walking in God's peace about the situation, but also he's trying to broker peace that none of the wise men, not just himself, will be killed. And so Daniel goes home and he says to his friends, we must pray. This is life or death. And he explains what's happening. And then during that night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision by God. And my God has answered. Here is the answer to prayer. So God reveals to Daniel both the dream and the interpretation. It's all about the king's future and the kingdom and all that type of thing. And he praises God saying this. First of all, he went, yes. But it doesn't record that in the book of Daniel, but it does record this. And when I read this, I thought, this is like a parent's prayer. This is like the prayer we all need. Because isn't parenting like a journey that there's no map for? And people can give you 100 books and you can read 100 blogs, but actually it doesn't really. It gives you a little bit of help, but at the end of the day, it's you and your child or your children, and we're making up as we go along. And here is a prayer, a praising to God from Daniel, that shows us who God wants to be in our lives. And this is how it goes. He says, "Praise to the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and power are his." Don't we need that every day? Wisdom and power. "He changes times and seasons. It is him that deposes kings and raises up others." You know, he is the only one who is Lord. "He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things." Now, not just the PE kit under the bed when it's time to go to school, that he reveals the deep and hidden things. Where did you leave it last? Where are your shoes now? Where's your reading book? "He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him." Daniel says, "I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have answered my prayer, and you have made known to us the dream of the king." And this is what we need as parents every day. And for us, Mother's Day, gosh, what a job as mothers. Don't we need that wisdom and understanding that comes from God? So Daniel, he goes back to the commander and he says, "Stop, don't execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king and I will interpret his dream for him." And he's put before the king and the king says, "Well, can you do it?" And Daniel replies, "No, no wise man can do it. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. It is a powerful God who cares about every detail of our life." And here, God rescued Daniel, his friends, all the wise men, and brings a message to the king about his future. Now, when Daniel shares the dream and the interpretation, he gets promoted. And the king says to him, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. For who could reveal it but God himself?" Now, that's just one of Daniel's hair-raising mistakes. Escapes. But right through Daniel's career, he never planned to have a career in the palace. We don't know what he had a career plan of, but here he is dragged off to Babylon, and he serves under four kings, actually. And his most famous escape is what I'm going to tell you now. On his death, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom passes to his son, Belshazzar. Lovely. I'm glad we didn't have a baby up here, Belshazzar. And that Julian didn't have to do it either. So Belshazzar. And then Belshazzar, when he dies, the kingdom is handed over to Darius the Mede of the Medes and Persians. And Daniel is still serving in the court all these years later. So we see him in this incident as a young man, but now he is older. And so King Darius is new to the throne. He starts to reorganize things a little bit, but the only thing he will not reorganize, he's so impressed with Daniel, and he plans to give Daniel charge of the whole kingdom so he can just party it up as the new king and Daniel can run everything because he's so wise. But the other politicians were very jealous, and they determined that this would not happen. And they said to one another, "Let's find some dirt on Daniel. How hard can that be?" But the book of Daniel tells us they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. And so here he is, this man of integrity. They can't find anything against him, so they decide to use his faith against him, and they come up with a clever plan. Now, appealing to the king's vanity, they suggest to the king that for 30 days everyone should pray to King Darius, and that if they don't, they get put to death. Now, this appeals to the king, and so he says, "Yes, go and sort it all out." And so everyone has to pray to Darius, King Darius, for a month. But Daniel continues to pray to God. He just doesn't, and three times a day, he's praying by the window, and the baddies see him. Now, what I love here, if we're thinking of our baby names in this story, is that we see that Daniel has this firm grasp that all life comes from God. It is a gift from God. And he's not going to compromise or pray in a cupboard or pray in secret or close the curtains. He's showing that God is all in all. How silly to pray to a king, but he will pray to his God. Also, we see this peace in his decision. He's walking with the knowledge of the Father of peace, but he won't compromise. And also, he says, God is my judge, not man. Let man judge me, because it's God who knows the truth. And so he will not stop praying, because he knows God is the one who answers prayers. So the jealous men in the court, they are delighted to walk past the window a few times, see Daniel praying, report it to the king. And of course, this means that Daniel will have the death sentence. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. So the king knew he's distraught now because Daniel is his right-hand man. He doesn't want Daniel thrown in the lion's den like he has decreed if you don't pray. And so he tries everything he can to save him until finally the sun sets and the decree has to be performed. And Daniel is taken and thrown in a pit full of hungry lions and it's instant death. And they move a big stone over the top of the pit. Now, the Bible tells us the king cannot sleep. He can't eat, he can't sleep, he refuses all entertainment. In other words, he says, take away the takeaway. I can't go on my Xbox tonight, that's it, nothing. He's just distraught, he can't eat, he can't sleep, he can't play, nothing. And then in the morning, he rushes to the pit. Is there just one chance? This God that Daniel serves, is there any chance that he's more than bones? And Daniel chapter 6 says this, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered from the pit, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. Well, I mean, this certainly is living out, Lord is my judge, that he lived with such integrity before God. And the king is overjoyed. He gives orders straight away to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel is lifted out, he searched him and he found not a wound, not a scratch, because Daniel had trusted in God. My God has answered. God hears our prayers and he answers them. Then King Darius made a decree across the whole nation that in every part of the kingdom, instead of praying to King Darius, that everyone would pray and reverence the God of Daniel. And it saved a whole nation. And the king says this, there is only one God, and he is the living God, and he endures forever. His dominion will never end. And this is the security we have in God, that it will never end. He will always be there for us. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. The king is just blown away. And it's important for us to remember that God is a supernatural God. He is all powerful. He created the whole world. That he is interested in our life. It is him that performs signs and wonders. One of my favorite little wonder in our life that God has performed, and there are many, but one of my favorites, when I was a teenager, as a young girl, I was about 19 or maybe I was 20, and this all happened. This happened in Tenby. And see, this is the South Beach in Tenby. And if you've been there, which many of you have, there's the beautiful South Beach. And it's backed by sand dunes. When I was 19 or 20, Julian and I were going out together. And a lady in my church, Ruth, who was about 80, really, really dear friend, let me go over her house to study. She had a spare bedroom there and I could go over and study. And my watch had broken. She lent me her watch. And she said, I'd like to lend you this watch, because my husband gave it to me, and her husband had died 20 years before. So I was slightly reluctant, but it meant a lot to her to lend me the watch that her dear husband gave her, who had died all those years before. So I was wearing this watch. So one day, me and June decided, picnic down Tenby. Yes, in the car, go down Tenby, got the picnic. As we walk down to the beach, we start to run about in the sand dunes because, you know, we're just young and there's a soundtrack playing. It was really romantic. There was wind in my hair. I was running through the sand dunes and we had our picnic. It was amazing. But before all this happened, before the music began playing, I took off my watch and I had like a kind of dress on that had a big pocket on the front, and I put the watch in there so it would be safe and wouldn't get sand in, because the last thing I wanted to do was ruin Ruth's watch. We had a picnic. We went for a beautiful walk, holding hands into the sunset. It was amazing. And then we walked back to the car, and we put everything in the car, and I put my hand in the pocket to get the watch, no watch. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, do you know, it's got to be in the sand dune somewhere, because we're just like running about and, you know, young and being able to run in those days. And so I said to Julian, you know, the sun was about to go down. And I said, we have to go back. I cannot go home without Ruth's watch. And I could see this look on his face. Now, we were only going out at the time, but we've been married, 32 years now. And I've seen that look many times since. And that look was like, she's not going to give in. And we would never find the watch. And I can either say no, but she would go anyway. And I'd just have to sit in the car for 3 hours. So I'm going to have to go down the beach, I think. I could just see all this flicker. It was a sign of the future, flicker across his face. And we're so young and innocent. I said, please, darling, please, let's go back and find Ruth's watch. So we're walking along. And Julian started praying. And he was like, Lord, you are the judge of all things. You are amazing. And you answer prayer. And I'm going to have no peace tonight unless you sort this out. So I just pray. And as we were walking towards the beach, Julian had a vision, a bit like Daniel had this vision in his head. And he had a vision that he would put his hand under the sand, close his hand, bring it out, and there'd be the watch. And he was like, if only it's that easy. So anyway, so we walk down to the beach, and we start looking, and it's like the sand dunes are not named or numbered, are they? Everything looks the same. So just looking around, and I'm like, oh, Lord, please find this watch. It means so much to Ruth, and I've been so foolish. I should have left it in the car. And I'm looking around, and Julian goes, this is the moment, Lord. So he does what he saw in the dream, and he just randomly picks a spot, and he put his hand under the sand, and he closed his hand, and he brought his hand out, and he opened it. And there was the watch. Now, that was amazing. And he went, here it is. We'd only been down there like 20 minutes. Why is God interested in the details of our lives? Because he is. Because he made us. We see these little babies here today that are being dedicated to the Lord. He has great love for us. And even for the details in our lives. Not just for my anxiety finding the watch, but for Ruth, that it meant so much. It was one of the few things she had left of the man she loved. And God cares about us. Now, a couple of weeks ago, no, maybe 6 weeks ago now, Tabitha, who's in the room here, at the end of the meeting, we often pray for people who've got pain or something wrong. And Tabitha came up one week and she said to me, oh, could you pray? I found this like little lump. I've been to the doctor and they said I have a cyst on my ovary. It's so big I'm going to have it operated on, but it could affect my fertility in the future and the ability to have children. So I'm seeing the consultant in a month, and my parents are going to fly over from Belgium. Please, would you pray? And so every Sunday at the front here, I would pray, or Suzanne would pray. One of us would pray. Whichever one of us was here would pray. And over the weeks, the lump started to get a little smaller. So then the day came to meet the consultant to talk through the operation. This was like last week, week before. Now, isn't it, when your parents were up here? So Tabitha's parents flew over and sitting there with the consultant to do the scan to show how they're going to do the operation. And when they do the scan, they find the cyst has totally gone. And God had healed her. Now, we've had a lot of people healed of cysts and various other things. And God is amazing. He is the God of the supernatural, of signs and wonders in heaven and earth. And we've seen many people here healed of their pain. That was difficult for the consultant to explain to her parents, who'd flown all the way over to do an operation on something that didn't exist. And he was like, it definitely was there. He said, I know I put her on some medication to help reduce it, but it would never have done this or got rid of it. And it's absolutely amazing. And that's because God loves and cares for people. And after all Daniel's escapades and everything he went through under four kings, because later there was Cyrus the Persian, he stayed true to his faith. And the kings began to realize that the God of all creation is real. And so we see him young, standing up to peer pressure, but then going all through his career to an older man of standing up for what he knew to be true with integrity, that the Lord is my judge, and that he used the Lord's will and guidance as his plumb line. Even in danger, we saw that he could see that he knows God is the one who is in charge of all life. peace in trials, even in the lion's den, and that God has answered. He was like the Bond of his day, really, because when you read the book of Daniel, it's just one inescapable problem to the next. And he was like, no, I will die another day. And so just a few thoughts to close now for the mums, because it's Mother's Day, and the parents of the dedication to do with your baby's name, looking at Daniel's story, just a few thoughts. So the first one is this. Children are a gift from God. They are a precious gift from God. And God loves all people. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Galatia. There is no Jew or Gentile, slave or free person. There is no male or female. That's because you are all one in Christ Jesus. And Jesus' love is for everybody. And so with our children, this little gift from God, I want to encourage you to treasure them and treasure your time with them. I was chatting to a mum this morning, and we're talking about how noisy the home was, all the children excited for Mother's Day. And I talked about how quiet my home was. Now they've all grown up and gone. And she said, oh, I can't imagine. I just love them all around me. And sometimes when you've got little children, you long for peace and quiet. And then one day when you have it, you just long for them to pop over and see their lovely faces. And so treasure them, treasure your time with them. Show them your support and kindness, because you are building a bond to last a lifetime. That little person you are playing with and having patience with will grow up to be a friend for life. The second one, Lord is my judge. When we're only answerable to the Lord for our life, for what we do, for what we say, for how we spend our life, we are answerable to him. And it is the Lord who loves us and gives us strength. Now, I'm aware these days there's a lot of media pressure on parents to parent their children in a particular way. And after 30-odd years of having children, our eldest daughter, Rachel, turns 30 next week. You see the fads come and go of how we're supposed to raise children. And I just want to say to you parents that, you know, don't feel judged by others on your efforts. The important thing is that God is our judge. He sees our heart. And he will help us. And every family is different. So don't worry if one family does it like this, because another family does it like that. And so do what works for you. To quote the author, Kate Semperi, she said, before becoming a mother, I had 100 theories on how to bring up children. Now I have 7 children and 1 theory. Love them, especially when they least deserve to be loved. And that's what God does. He loves us, not on what we deserve, because he made us and he loves us. How do we love them? Well, a good start is to follow God's guidelines. That God talks about love and respect, loving him and loving each other. So the first thing, I think, really the most important is for the child to know they are loved. That is the most foundational thing. It doesn't matter if they get this right or they get a bad mark in their spelling or they ripped their jeans or they smashed a pot or whatever it is that goes on in their life. They need to know that they are unconditionally loved. And I love this little quote. A mum's hug lasts long after she lets go. And so our love for our children lasts all through their life. It gives them a foundation. And you can see how Daniel was ripped from his family to a different country. But his love for God, and you can see that love he'd had from his family, he was able to not just survive, but overcome. And he went from being a captive to like the prime minister of a nation. And we must almost also help our children to navigate life. They need to learn right from wrong. They won't get far in life if they think it's all about them. And it's really important they learn right from wrong, what is appropriate and what is not, and respect for others around them so they can get on well in life. In Ephesians 6, Paul writes this to the church, children, obey your parents as believers in the Lord. Obey them because it's the right thing to do. Scripture says, honor your father and mother. That is the first commandment that has a promise. Then things will go well with you. You will live a long time on the earth. And the same passage goes on to say, fathers, don't make your children angry. Instead, instruct them and teach them the ways of the Lord as you raise them. And this is talking about the way that we treat our children. As they grow up, it comes a stage where, because I said so, it's not enough anymore. It's not respectful. We have to be able to explain to them why not and why we're going here and listen to them and form opinions together and help them on their journey so they don't feel frustrated that we are a brick wall, but actually we're helping them. And it also shows how children, when they're little, they just drink in our behavior to them. They drink it in. This is what happens. All through their little life, they're drinking in our behavior to them. And then when they get big enough, they're not scared of you anymore, right? Because daddy, you know, they're little tiny. They get big enough. They dish out what they have received. And so the behavior we do to them when they're small, that's how they respond back to us. And so if in the home there's a lot of yelling and shouting when they're small, when they're a teenager, they'll be yelling and shouting. If there's peace and harmony in our home when they become old enough and a teenager, they will be trying to walk in peace and harmony. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge for us. And yet, if they can be drinking in kindness and love and patience and reasonableness and a problem-solving attitude, that's what will come back out later. I love this old proverb that is quoted in Ezekiel 16:44. It quotes an old proverb, like mother, like daughter. And we could also say, like father, like son. And I love this little way as Beyonce and her daughter, of course. But here is our lovely Sian and her daughter Naomi, who certainly is a chip off the old block. And what we model is what we produce. And so, you know, some of our future harmony is in our own hands. I love the story of Stevie Wonder. Now, Stevie Wonder, when he was born with a condition that because they gave him too much oxygen, he's a premature baby, 6 weeks old, they gave him too much oxygen, and it caused the problem that he had to make him go blind. So almost from birth, he was blind. But it turned out he had this amazing talent. He was a child prodigy. And it was his mother who would take him to auditions and would take him there. It was his mother who helped him not to be afraid and not to be held back, that because he was blind, that he wouldn't be able to contribute. We know he has this gift to the whole world with his music. And we know that he's not just a musician and a singer, but a songwriter, a record producer. He plays many instruments. And he signed his first record deal aged 11. It's amazing. He's considered to be one of the most critically acclaimed and commercially successful musical performers of the 20th century. In 2009, he was named a United Nations Messenger of Peace. In 2013, he came number 6 out of 100 of the all-time top artists in the US singles charts. And he's had an amazing career for over 57 years and never been held back. And when he was asked about his success, he said it was about his mother. And it was his mother who taught him never to fear. He says, "Mama was my greatest teacher, a teacher of compassion, love, and fearlessness." And that's where he learned it, from his own mother. And likewise, Abraham Lincoln. He says, "I remember my mother's prayers. And they've always followed me. They've clung to me all my life." So parents, as our children see us pray and walk with God, problem solve our life with God, we will teach them the way to discover their own encounter with him. And today, as you're dedicating your children to God, it's about us playing our part in setting an example, but also helping them to discover their own unique faith. Number 3, God is our resource. And we've talked a lot about Daniel's life and walking in peace. And we need God's resources every day. Because mothers, it's not easy, is it? Parents, for dedication of our children, it's not easy. We need that peace and patience. And what do we do when ours runs out? What do we do when it's crazy all around us? And I love, last week, Adam brought this illustration of Lee Halfpenny. And so I nabbed it off Adam because I love this. Because I do occasionally, when I'm allowed, watch the rugby with Matthew and Julian. Now, I'm not always allowed to watch the rugby because I'm sitting there going, "Oh, is that the same socks I had last time? And why has that guy got a thing on his... Oh, why has he got tape on his ears?" And they're like, "No, it's about the rugby. It's not about their clothes, it's about the rugby." And then I'm sitting there going, "Oh, do you think that hurt? Oh, will they bring him back on?" And so often I'm banned, you know, unless it's such an amazing match that, you know, they're going for it and they don't notice. But what I have noticed is when these guys come to take a try, right, and some of them do all this, like, funny little thing, you know, or they're concentrating. And I think... What must it be like to be there on the field, all these like thousands of people watching you, everyone watching on TV, and you've got, is that the right word, a try? You know, when you kick the, when you kick the ball over the posts, right? Do you know what I'm talking, I know what they do, right? It's a ball this shape, and it has to go through the white things, okay, at the top. So in this moment, I'm watching, I'm thinking, I don't know how they manage that. How do they do that with everyone watching? And then you see how they like go into this quiet place. And everyone's shouting and chanting and trying to put them off. They go into this quiet place. They're just able to focus on nothing else but the ball. Now, don't we need that in our parenting and in our life and our busyness? They're in the middle of the craziness, just to have a quiet place. And that is the peace that God offers. It's a peace beyond all understanding. It is a peace from God himself that can fill our heart. I remember one day here, being in the front row, and I was waiting for some medical test results, and they all turned out okay, but at that time I didn't know. And I was waiting for these test results. And I was like, Lord, I just can't concentrate on anything in this meeting. I've got no peace. I just feel so anxious. And Adam was up here speaking, and he spoke about something, and suddenly the tangible peace of God, it's hard to describe it, like came over me like this, but it went deep in my heart that all my anxiety went. It just totally went. And I was like, I just can't feel any anxiety anymore. I just feel total peace. And then I went and had my results and everything was fine. But God brings peace into our life. In Isaiah 26, it says this, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. There is only one rock, and that is Jesus. He loves us so much. He wants us to experience his peace and equip us with all we need for our life and for our parenting. And lastly, number four, he answers our prayers. And in 1 John 5, 14 to 16, it says this, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, even for a baby sister, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask in his will, we know that we have what we asked of him. Do you notice in there, he hears us? We were doing a project up in Penland recently, and a young woman said, could you pray for my sister? Because last year, someone in the church prayed for my little boy, and he got healed. My sister's in hospital. Could you pray for her? And I said, yes, let's pray now. Should we pray together? And she said, I'm not sure how to pray. If I say words into the air, can Jesus hear me? Yes, he can. He hears the words we speak into the air. He hears our thoughts. He hears the unspoken words of our heart, because he loves us. He loves us so much. He is the God of miracles who wants to come into our life and bring change and bring peace. He wants a relationship with us that as we bring up our children and we want to create a better world together, that he will give us the strength that we need. So today, as we dedicate these sweet little children, Thea, Eliana, Daniel, and Axel, I hope that you will remember the story of Daniel that encompasses all these things about a gift from God, my God answers prayer, the Lord is my judge, Father of peace. But essentially, let's end today knowing that we know who God is. He is a God who loves people to the very detail. He is a God who wants to bring us peace. That we are answerable only to him, and that he will answer our prayers. He is the God of miracles, and he is the Father of all peace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, today, firstly, I thank you for mothers. This is Mother's Day and a celebration of all things mothers. I thank you, Lord, that it was in your heart to produce mothers and fathers. And for all the mothers today, I pray for a blessing on them. Lord, we come before you as mums and say, gosh, we're just trying our best and we're just hanging on in there. And I pray that you'll give every mother today a refreshing of your Holy Spirit, that we know your peace and your strength in all that we are doing, that we are not alone and you are with us. Lord, I pray for these little children here today, Thea, Eliana, Daniel, and Axel. I pray, Lord, you'll bless these little ones and for every child in this room and out in Sunday school. that, Lord, they will grow up to know your amazing love for them. That even if they have a crazy life like Daniel, you are there and you'll give them strength. I ask you help them to be strong and have integrity in their life. And that whatever career path they find themselves in, that you will bless them in it. And Lord, I pray for each of us here today that have come to support all the children in their life ahead. That, Lord Jesus, we will know your unfailing love. That you are the God of signs and wonders, of miracles on heaven and earth. And the greatest miracle is that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. That when we turn to him and say, Jesus, come into my life, I want you. That you just rush in with your love and your faithfulness, that our life will be transformed. So I pray, Lord, for a great blessing on every person here, that today we may know your love. In Jesus' name, amen.